This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the new media production studio in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead story is Amazon industrial athlete. Meat plant cyber hacks. Talk about updates to the Apple AirTag and the privacy thereabouts. Norton 360 to mine crypto. Those stories and more. I want to welcome you to episode 1531 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, June 3rd. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here. I tell you what, it feels like it's been forever to be in the studio, which in an essence, it has been to a certain extent because really, I've been gone for a while, and then, but you know, I've been back as for a while as well. But no show on Monday, of course, because there was a holiday that I kind of forgot about before I was getting ready to do the last show. But never mind on all that. If you're brand new to the show, make sure you get over to geekandcentral.com, get subscribed to the podcast, audio or video, your choice, and of course, subscribe to the newsletter while you're on the website as well. You can join our chat room, our Mastodon chat room at geeknews.chat or our Discord server. You also can join our Slack channel if you so desire. All you got to do is email me here and I'll take care of that, get you hooked up, get you on the Slack channel. You can always contact me via email, and that's really the easiest way to get in touch with the show, to provide me feedback. Really, that's it. geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, I'm on Twitter. We're live on Twitter as well tonight at Geek News. And of course, you can follow me on Facebook. All the partner shows are linked at geeknewscentral.com, whether it be the new media show, whether it be a GNC Week in Review, whether it be the Gadget Professor or the Pro Gear site. Definitely check all those pages out on all those websites. Get hooked up with our partner podcasters. Lots of content there to consume. Of course, this show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast, and that's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. Definitely want you to get over to our webpage where I've got those promotions laid out for you. Again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. June promotions are on as follows: 30% off on new product purchases, $499.com, newer transferred domains for new customers only. Best deal in the whole wide world on web hosting. Spread the word on that. $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain. Again, $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. You cannot, absolutely cannot go wrong there. Or a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. Again, check all these out, all of these promotions at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Double checking to make sure I'm all up online here. Looks like I was. Some stuff was not updating. There it goes. That's what I was waiting for. If you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube, make sure you say hello. We want to hear from you. But again, don't forget my sponsor. And again, thank you for your ongoing support. Of course, this studio is designed by our friends at Audiomute.com. And I want to thank Kevin and the team over there for getting me the replacement panels in that the kitty cats destroyed or used as scratching pads. Everything's been repaired and my OCD has been calm because everything looks brand new again and the way it should. And took care of that Tuesday morning. Got all those panels cut, got them put in, salvaged a couple. So I'm feeling real good. And, you know, during the cleanup of everything, I found one more light gray and one more dark gray panel that we had extra from before that still wouldn't have done everything I needed to do here, but kind of slapped myself on the head not knowing that I had those replacements, kind of forgot about it. But anyway, to catch you guys up, uneventful flight back from Honolulu, flew out night flight or late afternoon, got into Chicago pretty early, got over to, you know, catch the shuttle bus to get to the parking garage, got in my car, was on the highway back in Michigan by about noon. It was kind of a veg day to a certain extent. Worked Friday taking care of stuff. Then I got kind of volunteered for some projects. So that really impacted the entire Memorial Day weekend and cut more wood than I can even count. Got really took care of the whole bunch of stuff, and more on that later. But didn't even get a chance to clean the loft. I got the loft finally cleaned up, and that in itself was a job. But this entire week has been interview week. I've been, it's just like one after the other, been on a lot of interviews. I don't fully know why, just my time in the barrel, I guess. But lots going on. I'm glad this short week is really, really almost over. You know, tomorrow is Friday, the 4th of June. Can't believe it. We're already into June. And actually, I was working with my team this week talking about the upcoming travel schedule. And so right now, tentatively, well, actually, I'm 99% sure I'll be going down to the Columbus office the week of the 21st, going down there and doing meetings and getting some collaboration going, event planning, because July is really the, you know, the rest of June and July, and then boom, starting in August, September, and October, there is just event. Some over weekends, some on during the weekdays. So once again, travel will ensue. Looks like on my itinerary right now is Nashville. So if you're going to be in Nashville, then I will be in Salt Lake City, Utah. And then I will be in, where's next? I think Vegas, then Arizona, then where, one more. Anyway, there's five or six events, and really it's all the way through sometime in October, and it's not every week. I think there's a total of five or six events. Oh, I'm going to be down in Atlanta for Dragon Con, going down there, speaking down there. So conference time is back on. So I'll be moving around a little bit this summer. I do at some point probably have to go back to Hawaii based upon some medical stuff that I found. I've got a spot, probably too much information, but I guess a spot on my back that needs to come out. And the dermatologist there wants to, you know, basically punch it and, you know, I have a big gouge in my back. They take this out because it's got a little bit of irregular. Well, you know what I'm talking about. It's bumpy. So I have to go back to Hawaii at some point for a quick down and back for that, unless I can get it done here in Battle Creek with the VA. But anyway, that kind of catches you up what's going on. So lots of stuff happening here over the next couple of months. But, yeah, down to Columbus the week of the 21st, and then I should be home, I guess, probably all of the month of July, it looks like. But again, beginning August will be starting in Nashville. So that's what's kind of happening, and hope you're all doing well. And I got a lot of stuff to go through tonight. Kirk did a great job getting the show prep done. But this first story that I've got here in the stack is really bizarre. And does Amazon hire idiots? Amazon's newest euphemism for overworked employees is industrial athlete. Amazon uses the phrase in a leaked pamphlet about worker wellness. Amazon tells its warehouse employees to think of themselves not as overworked cogs in an enormous soul-crushing machine, but as industrial athletes, and to prepare their bodies for that experience like someone training for a sporting event, according to a pamphlet obtained by Motherboard. The comparison is troubling for companies whose workers have almost double the amount of serious injuries as the rest of the warehouse industry and who reportedly often unable to even take bathroom breaks. It's Sounds like the airline industry. The pamphlet tells employees that some of them will walk up to 13 miles throughout the course of the day, burning an average of 400 calories an hour. It also suggests all sorts of ways workers prepare for the athlete life, include changes to their diets and sleep schedules, and making sure they're not dehydrated throughout the day by keeping an eye on the color of their urine. It also suggests that employees buy shoes at the end of the day when their feet are swollen to avoid tightness and blisters. One thing Amazon really did not bring up is that athletes train for an event with a definite end date. Athletes aren't competing day in and day out, and they have time to rest and recuperate in between. This comparison becomes even more ridiculous when you look at what pro athletes' day is actually like. So, unlike actual athletes who have a lifetime of physical experience that allows them to train and complete at a high level, many Amazon workers have no background in doing highly physical work. It's little wonder that reports continue to find Amazon's comparatively high injury rates to Amazon's warehouse workers at almost a almost double the number of serious injuries. So it's just, I don't know who comes up with this stuff, but someone is an absolute blistering idiot over there. And it's sometimes stuff I hear coming out of them is pretty shocking. So anyway, that's the first insanity of the day. The second one, how many of you have Norton 360? I use Norton products here. Norton 360 antivirus will soon be able to mine cryptocurrency. Norton LifeLock will soon roll out a feature for Norton 360 that's not commonly found in antivirus programs, a built-in miner that will enable users to mine for Ethereum. The company will start giving select participants in its early adopter program access to the new feature today, though it intends to make Norton Crypto available to all customers in the coming weeks. The security software company is promoting the miner as a feature meant to protect its customers' ever-evolving digital life. Of course, Norton Crypto uses a GPU to mine Ethereum, which users then can then transfer into a wallet that's stored in the cloud. Ethereum is quite difficult to mine, especially in recent months, so users' efforts might be pulled together to have a better chance of mining a block. So here's the problem with this. This better not be turned on by default. This better be an option to turn on. Because if it is a default, and all of a sudden you're running my computer's GPU 24/7 mining crypto, I'm going to be mightily pissed. I don't get it. Gagan Singh, Chief Product Officer at Norton LifeLock, said in a statement, "We're proud to be the first consumer cyber safety company to offer coin miners the ability to safely and easily turn the idle time on their PCs into an opportunity to earn digital currency. With Norton Crypto, our customers can mine for cryptocurrency with just a few clicks, avoiding many barriers to entry in the cryptocurrency ecosystem." Do as you wish with this, folks. Cryptocurrency uses a lot of power, heats your computer up, could potentially make your computer wear out quicker. This is ill thought out, in my opinion, for sure. So time will tell on this, on how far this actually goes. The FBI says Russian ransomware group is behind the meat supplier cyber attack. No kidding. JBS, although they are starting to process meat again today, have been shut down for a few days. The company is the world's largest meat processor. Anticipates its global operations will be at near full capacity by Thursday. It adds that it's not aware of any evidence at this time that any customer, supplier, or employee data had been compromised. And of course, the FBI has attributed the cyber attack to Russian group Revol, also known as Stanikobi Revol. Anyway, long story short here, when is the United States going to start getting tough? When are we going to take the fight back to these groups? part of the problem is these folks are in Russia, and Russia has absolutely no respect for anyone. They do what they want to do. They really don't. And these hacker groups are protected within the Russian borders. And you know that their beloved president over there, their dictator, is not going to do anything, because I'm sure he gets a cut of the proceeds. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to continue to operate there. And anything that makes America look bad, makes Russia is always very happy about that. So, you know, I think it's a good idea, though, for those of you that work in basically any job, to be very, very careful about any type of social media exposure to, not social media exposure, any type of, you know, you don't want to open yourself up by looking at an email and thinking, oh, this came from John, and clicking on a link or something to that effect. You could unwittingly effect and infect your corporate networks and be in a ransomware situation. So just be careful out there. And email, social engineering, that was the word I was looking for earlier. Any of that stuff, be careful, okay? We don't want you being the source of your company having to shut down for 2 or 3 days and shelling out money to these cyber attackers. Apple's updated the AirTags to address stalking concerns. So Apple's updated the AirTags in order to address privacy associated with the Bluetooth trackers. With the change, Apple is shortening the period of time when an AirTag can be separated from its owner without making a noise. They say, following up on our commitment to continue to improve AirTag privacy and security, starting today, we'll be updating the time period after which an AirTag that is separated from its owner will play a sound when moved, an Apple spokesperson said in a statement. The time period is changing from 3 days to a random time between 8 and 24 hours. Now, people are still going to find ways to work around this. You know, they're going to put these devices in some sort of wrapping. They're going to put it in the trunk. They're going to put it somewhere where it's not going to be easily heard. Maybe put on the outside of a car, you know, in a wheel well or something like that. Now, that may sound like a minor change, but it's meant to address concerns that Apple didn't do enough to prevent AirTags from being used nefariously. The Washington Post reported that the previous 3-day window made it frighteningly easy for a potential stalker to track a victim for days before they receive any kind of warning that an AirTag had been placed into and or around their belongings. Also, Apple's planning an Android app that will help users detect an AirTag or find my network-enabled accessory. So at least Android users will be able now to see what's up and be able to detect if something's going around them. But it will require you to install another app. So those of you with cardiac devices, the American Heart Association says MagSafe could interfere with cardiac devices. Researchers suggest there's a risk when Apple's iPhone 12 Pro Max is placed very close to pacemakers. So if you're one to have a pacemaker and you're one to have your phone in your breast pocket, be aware that this could cause an issue. Said the MagSafe technology can cause interference when it's placed over the skin or in very close proximity to a cardiac device such as a pacemaker. AHA researchers found that select devices from all three major cardiac device companies, Medtronic, Abbott, and Boston Scientific, were found to have magnetic susceptibility. Our study demonstrates that the magnet reversion mode may be triggered when iPhone 12 is placed directly on the skin over an implantable cardiac device and thus has the potential to inhibit life-saving therapies. They tested the effect of MagSafe on cardiac devices by placing the iPhone very close to 11 pacemakers and defibrillators. Some of those were implanted in patients and the others were new and unboxed. So be very aware if you have someone in the family that has cardiac devices to keep their phones the heck away from, you know, don't lay your phone up on your chest or something like that when you're laying down. Be aware of this, okay? And man, put the word out. Nextdoor. Nextdoor is making it easier to find free stuff your neighbors are giving away. Another man's junk is someone's treasure, right? You don't need an account to browse the free find section either. So this new app, Nextdoor, the social network says it has seen 80% rise in monthly listings for items that users are looking to buy, sell, or give away. A quarter of those items were listed as free. To help you find items that people in your neighborhood are giving away without asking for anything in return, Nextdoor has opened a new section called Free Finds. You'll be able to look through the latest listings, browse the items that are closest to you, and uncover hidden gems. You can also make requests for things you're seeking. So again, Nextdoor is an app to find that. How about the Facebook local section or whatever they call it? Don't they have stuff like that as well where people are giving away stuff for free? I think so. Those of you that live in the European Union, the EU is planning a digital ID wallet for post-pandemic life. The EU unveiled plans Thursday for a digital ID wallet that residents could use to access services across the 27-nation bloc. The European Digital Identity Wallet, proposed by the EU's Executive Commission, is a smartphone app that would let users store electronic forms or identification and other official documents such as driver's license, prescriptions, school diplomas, vaccine cards. The bloc's 450 million residents will be able to use the wallet to access public or private services, both online and offline, while maintaining control of their personal data. Officials envision a wallet allowing a customer renting a car at an airport, for example, to complete the necessary ID checks and documents digitally and thereby skip the usual wait at an agency counter. Nightclub goers could show the app to security guards at the door to prove their age. This is the first step towards chipping us, but chipping us through our phones. What do you think about that? I'm not necessarily inclined to want to have an app that has all my digital ID information in. Of course, half it's in there already, you know, so I guess maybe it doesn't make much difference, right? Toyota's electric concept SUV lands in the United States ahead of its 2022 launch. Think it is a pretty more spacious all-electric RAV4. Toyota's BZ4X BEV concept SUV starting turning heads when it debuted at Auto Shanghai earlier this year. But it's already made its journey to the United States. The automaker confirmed yesterday the concept vehicle has officially landed in Plano, Texas headquarters, and they'll be ready to start selling this thing next year. So we'll see. And don't know for how much. I know the RAV4s are pretty popular, but Toyota is just so ugly. Inside their vehicles, just so ugly and plain. They have no character. Supreme Court has limited the reach of computer hacking law. In a 6-3 ruling, the court makes a distinction between unauthorized access to information and improper motives when retrieving info someone already has access to. So if you have access to information via computer and you're not allowed to, but you do, you cannot be held accountable underneath the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act as of now. At issue was the conviction which the Supreme Court ruling overturned of a former police officer who allegedly received payments in return for searching for a license plate in a police database that he had access to. Under CFAA, it is illegal to access a computer with authorization and to use such access to obtain or alter information in a computer that the accessor is not entitled to obtain or alter. But in its opinion, delivered by Justice Amy Coney Barrett and issued Thursday, the court found that while the provision applies to those who obtain information from particular areas in the computer, such as files, folders, and databases, to which their computer's access does not extend, the provision doesn't cover someone who might have improper motives for retrieving information they already have access to. So that's interesting. We'll see what happens as this moves forward. So obviously a loophole here that Congress will have to determine if they want to close up. Google is bringing more enhanced safe browsing protection to Chrome. It will add more safeguards against potentially malicious extensions and downloads. So if you have Enhance Safe Browsing switched on and you're about to install an extension from the Chrome Web Store that isn't part of a trusted list, you'll see a pop-up informing you of that. Currently, around 75% extensions are considered trusted to have their extension designated as such. Developers need to abide by the Chrome Web Store Development Program policies. New developers need to stick to the rules for at least a few months before they're considered trusted. Virgin Galactic, of course, they had a successful flight to space here recently. They've announced another human-tended science flight. So they're going to have experiments done. One of the experiments is notable. It says it's notable because it suggests there might be a viable business for Virgin, this kind of microgravity research. So a gal by the name of Garati, Kelly Garati, quite a beautiful woman, has been involved in the commercial space industry, including working for the Commercial Space Federation for about a decade. She tamed this flight by partnering with the International Institute of Aeronautical Science to secure research contracts with the National Research Council of Canada and the Canadian Space Agency. During her flight, she will wear an astroskin that will monitor her vital signs with about 3 to 4 minutes of weightlessness to work with. She will also conduct a free floating fluid configuration experiment. Virgin Galactic did not say how much this seat, likely one of four on a future dedicated research mission, cost. However, Garati said in an interview that the flight was within the realm of affordability. And there are so many on Twitter who say they are future astronauts. I think this proves that this can be true, she said. Now the aspiration actually has this avenue to become true. So anyway, the link will be up in the show notes on this. So good for her and the partnership she's made. She's obviously had a long time relationship with the space industry. So we will probably hear more about this flight, what they want to accomplish in the near future. Google is going to make it harder to track Android users across apps. So rumors of Google developing an anti-tracking feature for Android appears to have been well-founded. The Financial Times has learned that Google is notifying developers of a new protection for Android users who opt out, listen to this, who opt out of sharing the device-specific advertising ID. I don't know how you turn that off. That lets companies track users across apps. If developers try to access the ID of someone who declined tracking, they'll get a string of zeros rather than useful info. You can already curb ad tracking and reset your advertising ID, but developers have had ways to work around these restrictions. The new approach is slated to arrive later this year, Google said in this email. We've asked if Google can elaborate on whether or not it's tied to Android 12. According to the article, they have not. Oh, Engadget is saying they understand that the new protection will be phased in starting with Android 12 devices in late 2021 and reaching all Google Play Store capable devices in early 2022. So they're making it harder for these folks to cross-track us, which is good. President Biden has signed an order banning U.S. investments in Chinese surveillance companies. It's still unclear how he plans to address TikTok and WeChat, but the order increases the number of restricted Chinese companies from 48 to 59. This executive order extends and expands the Trump-era ban on Americans investing in Chinese companies. The order does not include DJI, WeChat, TikTok, or its parent company ByteDance among the 59 companies, despite previous concerns about those companies' ties to China. Of course, last year, President Trump signed an executive order to ban Chinese apps like TikTok and WeChat from U.S. app stores. But Thursday's order is separate from the President Trump's move to ban those apps. In February, the Biden administration asked a federal appeals court to place a hold on any legal proceedings regarding those app bans. It's still unclear how the president plans to address TikTok going forward. So something that many people complained about, the current administration is extending and expanding. Twitter has launched its first subscription service. Twitter Blue is designed for power users willing to pay a monthly fee for exclusive features. The service is rolling out to Canada and Australia for $3.49 and $4.49 in local currencies per month. The company did not say when Twitter Blue will become available for U.S. users. We've talked about this already here on this show, so we'll keep an eye on it. So it looks like old Twitter and company is looking to raise more money. WWDC 21 kicks off next Monday. So Google I.O. is done. Microsoft Build is done. So that means Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference is the last high-profile event for at least a month. But anyway, WWDC will begin on June 7th with a keynote at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Will probably last a couple of hours with Tim Cook and the rest of the Apple execs will walk through some of the biggest changes. I don't know if that keynote is going to be available on the web, because most of the WWDC is only available to developers who've shelled out $100 a year fee to be part of the Apple developer community. So the events, many sessions, deep dives, and one-on-one developer labs are off limits to the public. So we will see if that portion of WWDC is actually streamed live. And those of you that are developers that listen to the show, I'm sure you've already got your tickets and you'll be watching. Walmart outed itself by accidentally unveiling its own bargain price streaming stick and 4K player. It's called On, O-N-N. So the On-branded low-cost Android TV streaming stick was put up on the Walmart.com website ahead of its formal launch. And both items were officially arriving next week in stores. Walmart told TechCrunch, but it seems the website revealed them a bit earlier. The entry-level device streaming stick has been leaked earlier this year thanks to the FCC, but its online listing caught people's eyes thanks to its almost absurdly low price of $24. $24.88. A figure that rivals or even undercuts other streaming sticks on the market, including some from Walmart's partner, Roku. Roku today makes its product line of Walmart exclusives, where it's the cheapest player is the Roku Express 4K at $34.99. So, O-N-N. Walmart wants a piece of your digital spending. I would not give it to them. The Biden administration has makes $1 billion in grants available for broadband on tribal lands. So, this $1 billion in grants available for those that are part of the Native American, Alaska Native, and Native Hawaiian entities for broadband deployment. According to the Commerce Department, census figures show that only half of the households on tribal land subscribe to home internet service, and some areas lack even the most basic cell phone reception. More than 20% of people living on tribal lands don't have broadband access at home. And during the pandemic, as schools closed, some students at tribal serving schools had to drive for miles to find strong enough connection to participate in online classes. However, the number of people without internet access on tribal lands is likely even higher, as the data from the FCC on broadband access, which many government agencies rely on, can be notoriously inaccurate. So $1 billion available to install, expand, finance. I don't know all the details, but if you have someone that is Native American, definitely let them know. Paramount will launch a $4.99 monthly ad-supported subscription. Now, if you didn't shell out $9.99 to watch the meme-worthy iCarly reboot, now you won't have to. On Monday, Paramount Plus will launch its ad-supported essential plan for $4.99. This Alexis less expensive plan will replace the CBS All Access plan, which included commercial, but also granted access to local CBS stations. So if you're currently subscribed to that $5.99 month plan, you can keep it, but starting Monday, it won't be around anymore for new subscribers. So what makes the Essential plan different from CBS All Access? Subscribers on the new tier will get access to marquee sports, including games in the NFL, UEFA, Champions, and Europa Leagues, breaking news on CBSN, and all Paramount's on-demand shows and movies. This includes offers from Viacom, CBS, BET, Comedy Central, MTV, Nickelodeon, Smithsonian Channel, and more. But local live CBS stations programming will no longer be included. So if that's a deal breaker, you might want to subscribe to CBS All Access this weekend. So anyway, lots of changes going on there on those plans they're making available. Samsung's new Galaxy Book Go laptop started at $349 with an 18-hour battery life. In the last few months, Qualcomm announced a pair of updated Snapdragon ARM CPUs made for use in PCs, and now Samsung has announced new laptops featuring both of them. The new Galaxy Book Go promises instant-on performance and 18 hours of battery life with a Snapdragon 7C Gen 2 chipset. The thin and light 14-inch laptop runs Windows 10 and can be had with a 4GB or 8GB of RAM rather than 64, 128 of built-in storage. It's set to go on sale June 10th, again, for $349. Snapdragon-powered laptops. Isn't that interesting? HBO Max launches ad-supported tier without 4K streaming and offline downloads. It costs $9.99 a month, though you can prepay for the entire year. So that is not that great of a deal. The ad-supported tier of HBO Max is now available, again, $9.99, where you can get full version for $14.99. The new ad-supported will offer subscribers access to the same content as the ad-free version, which is $14.99. So if you're willing to watch ads for $5 a month, you can save a little money on HBO Max. Think about the time. If you do watch stuff on those devices, HBO Max and all those different services, how much time do you get back a month? So that's the thing. If you're going to get, an hour's worth of your time back a month by not having to watch commercials, maybe that $5 is worth it. But if it's only 2, 3, 4 minutes, maybe it's not. So switching gears here, there's some memory apps. There are 7 apps that the folks at MakeUseOf.com recommend that will help you improve your memory. Train Your Brain is one, Luminosity Brain Training, Elevate, Brain Games, Peak, Clockwork Brain Training. But anyway, all these apps are supposed to help you improve your memory. Has anybody used any of these things? Do they actually do that? Or is it just a placebo? Big news out of Google and Ring. Ring now requires public requests from police seeking surveillance videos. So let me read that again. Ring requires public requests from police seeking surveillance videos. This is a significant change to how it plans to handle video requests from law enforcement. On June 7th, the company will introduce a new category within its Neighbors app. It's through those posts that Ring will filter information and video requests from public safety agencies. Ring users in the United States will not receive private emails from police and fire departments asking them to share footage of an incident. Ring says it has guidelines in place to prevent overly broad requests. For example, agency can only ask for footage within a 12-hour time frame of an incident. Each one must also include a valid case number. So how are owners going to be able to know if their footage has been captured? The caveat to all this is Neighbors app is only available in the United States and doesn't affect how Ring deals with legal requests such as warrants. Still, it's a meaningful change for a company that's courted controversy with its close police relationships, but it still doesn't explain how you, as a owner of one of these devices, one of these spy devices, are notified when content is requested. That's I don't understand it. That maybe it's all in the Neighborhood app. Link will be in the show notes. In the UK, the Conservative Party was fined £10,000 for sending unwanted emails to 51 people. Woo, that was expensive. Yes, indeed. Very, very expensive. So they're getting serious on there. 51 people said, I did not want to get the email. And they got charged $10,000 for that. Now, tell me what's wrong with this headline. Jack, are you listening? United Airlines agrees to purchase 15 Boom supersonic airliners. United Airlines, the first official U.S. customer for Boom Supersonic, a company focused on making supersonic commercial flight a reality once again. Boom unveiled its supersonic subscale testing aircraft late last year and intends to start producing its Overture full-scale commercial supersonic passenger jet beginning in 2025 with a planned 2029 date for the beginning of commercial service. I don't know if I want to go on any airplane that is called Boom. Obviously, Boom is when you go supersonic, but Boom? Really? I don't know if that's, to me, that's not necessarily that great of brand building. Boom. 15 Boom. Yeah, it's all cool until one of them goes Boom, right? Then you have a real PR nightmare. You never crash one, and whenever never goes Boom, then you won't have a problem. But Boom. I think that's a bad marketing idea. Well, in approaching, by the way, I walked into a grocery store yesterday, no mask required. I was able to sit down at a restaurant on Tuesday, walk in, no mask required. Shocked, absolutely shocked, dumbfounded, actually. Can't believe it's actually happening. Apple employees will return to the office in September. They're pushing for a hybrid approach. Apple employees' full-time work from home arrangements may be coming to an end. The tech giant CEO sent out an email to employees asking them to return to the office starting in September. Tim Cook said most people expected to come in on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays at a minimum, with the option to work from home Wednesdays and Fridays. Teams that need to work together in person will have to come in for 4 to 5 times a week, but that doesn't come as a surprise. Some Apple employees had to continue working from the company's office on certain days during the height of the pandemic, though most were able to do remote work. Video conferencing calling has narrowed the distance between us, to be sure, but there aren't things it simply cannot replace. Even my team have had some meeting, some of the folks have been back in the office and they say it's just good to be able to collaborate and talk and not be on a Zoom call, be face-to-face. It's pretty awesome. Article over on Geek News Central, Swatch launches Space Collection. Swatch has launched a 5-watch Space Collection inspired by NASA and the exploration of space. On sale today in the Swatch stores from 8 June online. The watches feature the famous worm NASA logo. These are going to be hot for those of you that want one of those. I don't know, what are they going to cost? Did they give us a price? They only give us the euro price. How come? Is this only going to be in Europe? Anyway, from £79, or is that euros? £79 to £141. It's about around $100 here in the United States. Andrew posted this. He's one of our writers out of the UK. So maybe this is a UK announcement. So we'll see, but maybe they're going to be available here in the United States as well. Twitter starts rolling out Birdwatch fact check. Well, Twitter's looking to crowdsource its way out of misinformation with its new product, Birdwatch. The company launched a pilot version of the program back in January, but now they're ramping it up. They're starting to roll out Birdwatch notes to pilot participants across the iOS, Android, and desktop ecospheres. Are you a bird watcher for Twitter? If you are, I'd love to hear from you. AMC, boy oh boy, here we go. AMC falls and then rises after record-breaking rally this week. Who would be responsible for that? Well, Wall Street Bets. Traders on Wall Street Bets, who were responsible for the record high GameStop stock prices only a few months ago, were all in with the movie theater company as news came out that people betting against a stock known as short sellers had lost more than $1 billion. Short sellers lost $2.8 billion on Wednesday alone, according to an insider. Like with GameStop, the Wall Street Bets traders anticipated a short squeeze, which is when hedge funds bet against AMC were forced to buy the stock at a higher price to avoid large losses. One hedge fund, though, did the opposite by buying $230 million worth of shares on AMC on Friday and then selling them Wednesday for a hefty profit, and the trade kicked off the day's rally. So, but AMC is getting into this. On Wednesday, the theater chain launched what's called AMC Investor Connect. This portal is intended for retail investors, meaning us poor folks, who are non-institutional stock traders like the ones found on Wall Street Bets. Investors who signed up at the website will get a free popcorn and other benefits while also receiving direct investor communications from the company. So they're all in. They're like, they just saved the day. They really did. Because it wiped out some debt for them, a whole bunch of stuff. So AMC stock dropped after it filed a Form 8K saying it was selling 11.55 million shares. And people jumped on it like crazy. It went to 58.10, then as high as like $70, I think. So interesting move. It's always fun to see these little things happening. But AMC, again, giving away free popcorn. And they're all about supporting those that are propping up the stock, I guess. So smart on them for doing that. This is an interesting topic. Verizon says forcing people off old plans to get FCC subsidies isn't upselling. Verizon says it'll reverse subsidy restrictions after complex billing system update. They're defending its practice of forcing customers to switch plans to get a government-funded $50 per month discount, telling the FCC that this is not the same thing as upselling. Verizon has partially backtracked from the restrictive policy, but told the FCC it will take about a month to deploy a billing software update that will let more home internet customers get the discounts without changing plans. Verizon is preventing some customers from getting the new government subsidies unless they switch to different plans that are sometimes more expensive. AT&T, Charter, and T-Mobile also limit plans eligible for the new subsidies, while Comcast says it will honor the discounts even on grandfathered plans that no longer offer to new customers. They're not losing no money. The government's given Verizon all these folks money. So it's not like they're losing any cash, but it's kind of dirty to force them to upgrade to a higher plan. Oh, you were paying $62 before and you've got a $55 bill? Well, or you got a $62 plan? Well, we're going to give you some free money, but you got to upgrade to the $78 plan. It's really crazy. So they can't want their cake and eat it too. Microsoft is going to reveal its next generation of Windows on June 24th. A special Windows event is coming later this month. The invite comes just a week after Nadella teased the next generation Windows announcement. Microsoft has expected details of its next significant change to Windows, and they will likely include a number of visual enhancements. We're expecting to see some significant UI changes to Windows under something codenamed Sun Valley. Microsoft's event invite appears to tease a new Windows logo. Microsoft confirmed last month that the Windows 10X, its OS originally built for dual screen devices, will no longer ship. So, we will see where this goes. What are they going to call it? Windows 11? Or what is the plan? If you like Amazon Prime Day, it's set for June 21st and 22nd. Get your credit cards ready. Prime Day is returning to its normal summertime slot after Amazon postponed the two-day sales event last year. So Prime Day is coming back with lots of savings on Amazon devices. So time to ramp up the revenue. All right, that's going to bring me to the end of the show. Let me see what I've got in here for comments. Any comments come in? Let me look. Oh, Rob sent this to me. He said, hey, Todd, Starlink in the Alps. And it's basically in the French Alps. Someone's got a Starlink up and running. And a little story on that. So thanks, Rob, for sending that over. And I think that was it. But I tell you what, it can't be much longer. It really can't. I'm in high anticipation of being able to get my Starlink antenna. I really am. We will see when that actually happens. Because I've got some ideas. I really do. But anyway, that's going to bring me to the end of the show. A little shorter, 50 minutes or so. I want to thank everyone for being over here today and watching the show. And those of you that have been live, thanks for being live. And, oh, James said from the, on the, in the chat, in the Facebook chat, he says, perhaps it's a plane for boomers. I am a boomer. And good morning to you, James, as well. I missed your note earlier. So, all right, a little punchy tonight. Didn't sleep well for some reason last night. I've been sleeping fine, but last night, toss and turn, toss and turn, toss and turn. But anyway, that's what's going on. So please support the sponsor. Definitely appreciate it when you do. Get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Those of you that are insiders, yes, 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 yes. The insider podcast is coming. I know. But thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next time here on the Geekness Central podcast. Back with you on Monday for a regular show in the studio. And we'll see you next time. Everyone take care. Bye-bye.